93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
After 269 minutes of football and 55 attempts to net, Pompey are finally off the mark with their first league goal of the new season.
Header in field. Williams knocked it down. Marcus did use a hand. Harrison has put the ball in the back of the net and the goal is going to be given.
But it proved too little too late for the Blues, who had already conceded twice up the other end.
Wigan lining this one up. It's a shot on goal. It is into the net. Wigan have a second. Unbelievable. Is it Perry who's drilled it in?
So, once again, Pompey fans, it's been a rubbish week on the pitch. And as always, we're looking to hear from you back home to get involved with the show. Let us know your thoughts on the match. Is it time to unleash Ellis Harrison up top for Saturday's trip to Burton? Would you like to see him replace John Marquis or perhaps change the formation so they can work as partners? And do you think that Ronan Curtis could do with a few games on the sidelines to allow a fresh face with new ideas on to the pitch? All the usual ways to get involved can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Myself, Henry Deacon and John Hooper will be all here until 7 o'clock this evening, and we're looking forward to what should be another interesting 60 minutes of Pompey discussion. Welcome along to the show. You're listening to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Once again, a very warm welcome to you all, and thank you for tuning in to the show this evening, which of course is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. For the next hour or so, the three of us will be mainly focusing on picking apart Saturday's game, but we're also looking a little further ahead to the Blues' next fixture and also previewing the return of Henry Deacon's Over the White Line. We'll get to those in a bit. But first, in true Football Hour fashion, it's time to kickstart with a listen back to Pompey's most recent fixture. The Blues welcomed John Sheridan's Wigan Athletic, who are still in administration, down to Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon. Both teams searching for their first league wins of the season. On the commentary once again for this clash was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Marquis outside the area, lays that one off. Pring in the box. Pring trying to find Marquis. His cross is blocked and it's behind for a corner kick. Still 0-0. Back out to the left wing. Jacobs to deliver. Right footed, lifted in towards the area. Misjudged by the goalkeeper. And headed over his own goal by Cal Naismith for Wigan. Good defending. Another corner kick to Pompey. 0-0. And Johnson doesn't get a free kick that he wanted. And Evans into the area. Tries a curling effort. Wide of the post. A goal kick, but a scare for Pompey, 0-0. Jacobs into the box, Jacobs to the far post. Great bit of sliding defending from Tom James coming in, getting there ahead of Curtis. Now Pring can deliver a three-step run-up. Lost it deep to the far post, again misjudged by the goalkeeper. Couple of deflections, it's going to run out of play and it'll be a Wigan throw on the far side there right. Solomon off the ball, scored one goal in his 10 Pompey appearances. Can he cross from the left outside the area? It's a good one into the box and Raggett defends it well. Loose on the edge of the area, shot on goal, fought by Watmore, still there, it's going to go in the net and Wigan have scored. McGilvery had already gone down to the ground trying to save one of the earlier shots and it came back and Lee Evans, I think it is, has given Wigan the lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Wigan 1. Shouldn't have bigged up Wigan set pieces. They've been pretty hopeless so far. And Harness is trying to drive forward. And Harness has got Curtis with him. Curtis to drive into the penalty area. Ronan Curtis will get the shot away. And it hits the legs of Cameron. And the pace of the ball disappears. And Cameron can clear it up towards halfway. Naylor loses possession and Wigan come forward and there's space on the left here and Solomon Otterball's into the penalty area across the face of goal and just wide. And Morrie gets away from him and Morrie can drive into the penalty area. Morrie still going on his left foot. Morrie goes down. Referee not interested in the penalty. Evan shoots over the bar. Wigan lining this one up. It's a shot on goal. It is into the net. Wigan have a second. Unbelievable. Is it Perry who's drilled it in? McGilvery can't claw it out, going away to his right-hand side. And Wigan have doubled their lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Wigan 2. Here we go. Moment. Whistle goes. Jacobs dummies to lay it off. Everyone charges. Now he lays it for Curtis. Blocked. Second ball deflected over the bar. Wigan survive. Corner kick. Knocking it around. Oh, that's silly from Wigan. They've gifted it to Williams into the area. Harrison brings it down. Can Harrison get the shot away? He'll lay it up for Marquis. Deflected off Cameron over the bar. Corner kick. Leoparded in swinger. In towards the six-yard box. Raggett's head off the post and wide. Closest Pompey have come. Williams, can he control it? Can he get the shot away? Williams, he can and he puts it wide. Still 2-0 Wigan.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 2-1 defeat at home to Wigan at the weekend. And we'll be hearing from the manager Kenny Jackett as well as right back Callum Johnson later on in the show. I'm delighted to introduce back onto the show this evening Express FM's own Henry Deegan. Henners, welcome back. It's great to have you on board for the Football Hour tonight.
Yeah, very good. Jake, evening everyone. It's been a little while, hasn't it, since we've done one of these programmes together, hasn't it? It's been at least a good 6 months or so, something like that.
It has been a very, very long time, Henry, and it's been a very strange year, and I bet you're looking forward to this week as well. You're returning with Over the White Line. We'll preview that show later on in tonight's show as well, but you must be looking so forward to that.
Yeah, you might need to teach me how to turn on and off the buttons. It's been that long. But no, it'd be nice to get back to it. Obviously, non-league games coming back slowly but surely. The last two leagues went back last week. Gosport and Bognor haven't. Touchwood, with all that's going on with the National League, should be back this weekend. We'll be back with an FA Cup game, but we don't know what's going on with the league. So, yeah, these teams have worked so hard to get all these COVID protocols in place. I think people got to remember they're volunteers by and large. And for most of them, they also get the opportunity to play in front of fans, which is such a luxury, which obviously for us and for Pompey, that they don't have.
Thank you, Henry. And also joining us on the Football Hour tonight, Pompey fan, avid Pompey fan, blues legend, John Hooper. Welcome to the Football Hour. It's been a long time once again, John, but of course, with everything in place, it's been a very weird year, but fantastic to have you on the show and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, cheers having me on, mate. It's been a while. It's just, I think, everything's going on. It's been nice to have football back at least and someone to look forward to the weekend.
That's the thing, John, as well, isn't it? You know, we'll come on to Saturday's result in a minute, but like you've just touched upon, having football back in some sort of capacity, although fans can't go to games at the moment in terms of Pompey, it must be great to be able to have that feeling, to be able to listen or watch the updates come in every weekend, you know, put your bet on, watch the, you know, results come in every Saturday and just have that feeling of some sort of normality back in your life. Because I know a lot of people have been struggling during lockdown of not having that sort of hobby to do. And for many people up and down the country, football is, you know, their entire social life. So, you know, as a supporter yourself, it must be nice in some sort of capacity to have it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's nice to see your team just every weekend, even if it's on iFollow or Sky or whatever. It's just nice to see them playing and getting out there, even at the moment it's not the best time to be watching Pompey.
No, it is. It's really not the best time to be watching Pompey. But I'd love to sit here for the next, 50 minutes or so now, Henry, and, you know, talk to you guys about something other than Pompey. But at the end of the day, it's kind of my job to do just that. And for the last few weeks, Henry, I've sat here, we've discussed 0-0 draws at home to Shrewsbury, away to Rochdale, a 4-0 thrashing away to Brighton. Now we've lost 2-1 at home to Wigan, who are in administration. We're now in the relegation zone, which I know it's quite early to look at the table, but it just seems to be quite a negative aura around the club at the moment. How do Pompey get out of this? You know, although it is a very early on in the season, there's a lot of negativity on social media. Fans aren't happy with the way that the club is being managed. How do Pompey get out of this slump and find the confidence really to start winning games again?
It's difficult. It's very difficult. I think it's even more difficult now because I think in a normal scenario, we still got 19,000, 20,000 there every week. You can try and create some kind of atmosphere, try and almost, you know, the players almost give the fans some of the cheer, but it's hard behind closed doors because obviously they can't do it. In an ideal world, if you're Kenny Jackett and you can pick a time to put in a Checkered Trade Trophy game, now would be the time. You would want to be playing. You'd want to be playing League Two tomorrow night.
Henry,
away, you wouldn't care where.
Henry, you've done that deliberately, haven't you?
Pardon?
You've done that deliberately, haven't you?
I genuinely have. I was in the car on the way back from work today, thinking, you know, what I was going to say tonight, and I mean, you know, with Haven, just going back there. When you had a bad performance, our equivalent was a Hampshire Senior Cup game.
Yeah.
You want that game where you can almost rotate a few players. There's no expectation going into the game because it's a game that's got no priority whatsoever. It's down the bottom of the priority list. If you win, fantastic. If not, it doesn't matter. But you just get that game to get whatever happened the Saturday before out your system. And it's going to be tough because you're jumping from league to league to league at the moment. And as winning's a habit, losing becomes a habit as well. And that's what's starting to creep in.
For those of you who don't know why myself and John are kind of chuckling away to ourselves, earlier this morning I messaged this group chat that, of course, I've set up for myself, Henry and John for tonight's show. And we were discussing, you know, what to talk about tonight and what the plan is going to be for the show. And I realised that Pompey aren't playing tomorrow night. So now, I prepared tonight's show in kind of looking forward to the Southend trip in the EFL Trophy, thinking that that game was tomorrow night. And of course, I've realised now that it's not. So I've had to absolutely turn the entire show on its head and realise that I've now got to add more time to talk about Saturday's defeat. But it is quite humorous, John. But what Henry's saying is he's right. You know, in this kind of situation where Pompey are on a slump in the league, I know we had that breakaway to Brighton in the Carabao Cup, but a chance to play a team like Southend or like we did with Colchester a few weeks ago, a chance to play one of those games now really would take a little bit of a focus of what's going on in the league and try to gain that bit of confidence again in winning a football match, regardless of what competition it is.
Yeah, Henry's right there. He's actually hit the nail on the head there. We need some sort of game, whether it's a cup game or it's a league or whatever, just something to get
a distraction.
Distraction, I suppose. Yeah, it's next weekend will be the ideal weekend. Next week, when we play Southend, whatever it is, it'll be the ideal time just to rotate the side, get some new players in, and hopefully just get a win. Because as you said, winning can be confidence, as can losing. So we need to just get some wins under the belt and hopefully get up this league.
Yeah. One of the biggest problems for Pompey this season, Henry, is the fact that goals have come, you know, few and far between. You know, they really have been at a shortage. And we finally got our first goal on Saturday at home to Wigan. But that was after almost three entire football games. And that was after 55 attempts on goal. That is quite some going to have not put the ball in the back of the net. Something is going quite horribly wrong up top. Despite the fact we've got a proven goal scorer in John Marquis, we seem to not be putting the ball in the back of the net.
John Marquis is a poacher, and you look at the games that we played so far, that service hasn't been there. He's not someone that, and this is not a disrespect to him, he's not that sort of player that will do 50-yard runs to score great goals. But what he will do is, if you get that good ball to him around that final third, around that 18-yard box, he will finish for you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we haven't had that opportunity yet. But if you look at the goal drought at the moment, and you look at our striking options, two of our four named strikers are out on loan. Technically, as far as you look on Portsmouth's website, their actual class strikers, the only two they actually class on there is John Marquis and Ellis Harrison. So goal scorers are the key differences. And if you want to get promoted, you need goal scorers. And look, it's a problem. It's a big problem, because if you're not scoring at one end, then you're relying on the other end to keep it 0-0, and there's only so much you can ask at the other end of the pitch at times.
Yeah. Jill in North End has got in touch on the text. Thank you, Jill, for getting in touch. She says, "Hi all, sounds like the goalie was slow to get up for Wigan's first goal. Jake, you seem a very negative character." Jill, I'm sorry, but it's harsh not to be. It's hard not to be at the moment. It's not fun at the moment to be watching Pompey. But of course, you know, you are right. It is trying to be more positive. But at the moment, John, you know, we've had two or three seasons where we've tried to be as upbeat and as positive as we can. But how long can we take of this now? You know, we seem to be. We're seeing the same kind of football. We're seeing the same kind of tactics. We're seeing the same kind of excuses and the same problems that we have done for the last two or three years. There comes a point where you just kind of think, well, how is this going to change? Is this ever going to change?
I suppose in ideal times, this would be a time where you look at the entire playing staff and see what is going wrong and see if you can address the issue. But due to COVID, it's going to put everything up in the air. And I think all you can do now is just give the coaching side time and just try and get it right. I can't see anything change in terms of personnel due to COVID, and like a lump, that's probably a smart thing to do when there's very little money going circling around as league at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, Pompey fans, Henry, John, thank you so much for joining for part one. We'll come back to you in a few moments' time. Pompey fans back home, don't forget you can get in touch, just like Jill did back then. You can get in touch with all of your thoughts on Saturday's game and where you think Pompey need to improve ahead of the next few league fixtures. Do you think it's time to drop John Marquis and maybe put Ellis Harrison up top on his own? Do you think it could work better if they partner together up front? And do you think it's time for Ronan Curtis to have a few games on the sidelines to allow a fresh face to come into the team? All the usual ways to get involved can be found on our website. I'll go through them again in case you don't know them by now. At ExpressFM on Twitter, you can text your name and your message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Myself, Henry and John will be back in a few moments' time, and we'll be hearing from Pompey manager Kenny Jackett with his thoughts after Saturday's game. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, which is once again sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses. Visit stagecoach.co.uk for the latest updates on fares, timetables and COVID guidelines. It's time now to hear from Blues boss Kenny Jackett now, who spoke to Pompey Media's Ollie Marsh following Saturday's 2-1 defeat at home to Wigan Athletic.
Yeah, we had a lot of the game in both halves and a lot of balls into the box. Again, high number of set pieces, didn't get on the end of enough. Disappointed with the first goal, just sort of Lee Evans looked, you know, in a lot of space, to be honest with you, to strike it. I understand it still sort of went over my goalkeeper, but it did look like he had a lot of space, so we're disappointed with that one. Second one looked a really good strike, the type of strike that we were looking for. But as I said, you know, we were strong in both halves in terms of being on top. Didn't do enough with it, though, around the box. Didn't do enough with it when we did get the balls into the box. And ultimately, then, that's cost us probably a good goal from Ellis. Left foot strike into the top corner, very good goal. And sort of opportunity strike that he is capable of. Sean Raggett's hit the post with a header, just the outside of the post. Other than that, you know, for all of our pressure in both halves, and you know, we started the game pretty well, it was tough for us to really carve out those clear-cut chances. And those aside, you know, for all of the pressure, we are looking to obviously be able to score more.
Yeah, as you say, there was more pressure than chances in both halves for you. When you have players like Marcus Harness and Michael Jacobs and Ronan Curtis, the list goes on. Can you put your finger on why you're not able to create the opportunity?
Yeah, finding that yard, really. Maybe the final ball. Sometimes we've slipped balls down the side and overhit them quite a number of times today. And just, you know, sheer volume of balls coming in. We'll be into, you know, double figures again in terms of corners and wide free kicks. Keepers come and gather too many. You know, in terms of the timing, we have to get across people and we have to make it happen because, as I said, you know, we had a lot in both halves and enough to do more. And you know, when the opposition get one and you know, they look a threat as well, and it's, you know, something we have to really turn into goals.
Michael Jacobs made his starting debut today and looked bright in the first half. Did you think he did enough for you today?
Yes, it's obviously his first game in that number 10 position where, you know, he can link things together and probably work off both feet as well. And just laterally then pulled him out onto the left-hand side and then the right. So in all three slots, really giving him an opportunity. He looked bright on the ball. Couldn't quite, again, get the shots off that, you know, his skill deserves, but he'll work towards that and we'll get fitter as he plays.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ellis very much part of that late push for a comeback. Is he going to be knocking on your door now for a start?
Yeah, we'll see. We obviously have to find the right combination because, you know, although we've had two clean sheets, you know, we've conceded two today, which is disappointing. And you know, for the amount of the game that we had, you know, we were looking to get onto zeros and ones, and that's been the case in the last two games. But similarly, and the main thing is going forward where we had, you know, pressure and, you know, we could retain the ball and turn it over. We just didn't, you know, in and around that final third, do enough with it to be able to, you know, get us the goals and build up the confidence that the players need.
The manager, Kenny Jackett there, following that 2-1 defeat home to Wigan on Saturday. We've got a text in from Roger in Gosport. We're going to get back to John and Henry in just a few moments to gather their thoughts, their further analysis on Saturday's defeat. Roger in Gosport's text in. He says, "Evening, Jake, something is very wrong with the management of the state of the play and tactics. Us fans just want some decent football. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport." He then actually goes on to say, "I'm sorry about the rant." Don't worry, Roger. Carry on. Keep going. He says, "What's wrong with 4-4-2. I just think John Marquis would suit alongside Ellis Harrison." Roger, thank you for getting in touch. Like Roger there, you can get in touch with the show tonight as well. You can text your message followed by your names, but starting with the word Express to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Find us on facebook.com/pompeylive or include @expressfm within your tweets. I'm going to go to John now, who I want to ask you, John. Roger there speaks about the 4-4-2 formation and how Pompey should perhaps move to that. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, from where I sit, we've seen it before, and I think it's a good suggestion, don't get me wrong, but we've seen Kenny do it before, and it's just been as ineffective as before 4-2-3-1. I think we saw it with Pittman and Bogle at some stage a couple of seasons ago. It didn't quite work out. We reverted back to our kind of usual formation, and we started winning games again. So is it something that we could explore just to change things up a bit, do you think?
I think at the moment you take any sort of change you can. If 4-4-2 does breed us goals and hopefully some wins, I think definitely give it a go. Definitely.
Got another text in from Carol in Hayling. She says, "Are Pompey heading back to League Two under Kenny Jackett? I hope not," says Carol in Hayling. Would be the worst case scenario, wouldn't it, Henry? to go back down to League Two and have to do all that over again. But the strange thing is, and you know, John spoke in the first part of the show about, you know, how the pandemic hasn't helped with, you know, financial situations up and down the country, and maybe if we weren't in this situation financially, that maybe we would be seeing a change in management. But you know, with the current regime in charge, you'd like to think at least, but we would still be able to scrape a top half finish and even a push for the playoffs, because Kenny has done it before. We've had a slow start to the season before, and he does have a CV and a record which, you know, does prove that he can get these top teams into the, you know, the upper echelons of the league. So is it too early to panic, or do you kind of agree with the statement that after a few seasons now it's just getting quite stale actually?
I think we had this exact same conversation last year when we did the Pompey Live game against Coventry at Fratton Park together, didn't we? We are three games into a league season, so it is too early to panic. You're three games in. Any other point in the season, these results would be down to just a blip.
Yeah.
But I understand the fact that it's not a regression, but it's felt like this, that we are going back through. It's deja vu. It's interesting you talk about the system. 4-4-2 is a fantastic system. When you are in a predicament like this and things aren't going your way, it's the simplest system where everyone knows their jobs, everyone can drill their job to perfection, and it's a great starting point in a moment like this. I just think it makes sense. Go back to basics, 4-4-2, the building blocks are there. And then get results, and once results come there, and if they come and the confidence starts coming back, then you can play around, pop about with maybe a 4-1-4-1 or something like that. I just think 4-4-2, perhaps back to basics, would suit right now, especially against Burton on Saturday, because I've always been a big fan of the way Burton go about themselves, and they're always, always a difficult team to play against.
Yeah. John, with Ellis Harrison scoring Pompey's first league goal of the season on Saturday, and of course getting himself up and running for the campaign, it gives him quite a confidence boost, actually, and really gives Kenny that dilemma of who to start on Saturday. Of course, we'll be previewing the game on Friday into more detail, but it does give the manager a bit of a headache. And of course, fans are now wondering if, you know, Harrison should partner Marquis up top, or perhaps he should even get a chance to start on his own. Now, where do you stand with that? Is it a chance of Harrison to actually push Marquis out of a starting 11, or should, like Henry say, should Pompey go back to basics and start with more attack and threat up front?
I think, well, first and foremost, when you have two good strikes in Ellis Harrison and John Marquis, so the option's always there to do 4-4-2. As Henry said rightly, at the moment it'd work really, really well just to get us going again. And the 4-4-2 breeze us hopefully some goals and some points. Definitely give it a go. It could work really well for Saturday if that's what manager chooses to do.
Yeah. Tattooed Mike on Twitter says, what is so bad with the tactics at Pompey is that two central defensive midfielders and one striker formation that he sticks with at home. I love the long Fratton Park unbeaten run, but it was so boring. And I say that because he's added so many O's in those words. So boring to watch most of the time. We want entertaining, not negative football. Henry, in regards to the long unbeaten run at Fratton Park, now, of course, last season was cut quite short due to the pandemic, but Pompey did still go the entire campaign, technically, unbeaten at home. And that run stretched back to April 2019. Now, that's 20 league matches, 22 if you include the two playoff draws against Sunderland and Oxford. And within those 20 matches, that's 12 wins and 8 draws. We'd made Fratton quite the fortress. Now, that's gone. And that's something that Pompey could actually, and the fans could hold on to and think, well, we're playing at home, so we're likely to avoid defeat. Now that that stat's gone, it just unnerves fans a little bit, the fact that actually we can be beaten on home turf.
And it's not just the fact we've been beaten, it's who you've been beaten by as well, with Wigan. I think any neutral would probably have made that home banker on Saturday. And when you lose a game like that, it does change a lot of dynamics, because, as you say, it's that one thing you can fall back on. We're always good at home. We always seem to get a result. No matter what happens, you get that result. That obviously, now that hasn't happened, it does change the dynamic somewhat. And it's something where you need to rest back very quickly, because if you do start going into a home slump, you are in big trouble. So the next home game is absolutely pivotal, even just to get a point. Don't make it 2-2.
No.
It's a lot of you want to, especially when you've had a run that long. Because again, as I said earlier, much mentality becomes that as well.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of text tweets and emails coming in, guys. I'm going to get to some of them now, because we've got a lot to get through. And as you can imagine, after the weekend game, that's quite normal. Chris Elston says, it is not just the manager, but should carry the can for recent performances. What do they do in training? No passion, no grit or determination, no leadership, no pride and no evidence of a Pompey spirit. They have big boots to fill and sadly are not good enough, says Chris on Twitter. And this is something we touched again on Friday, John, about how, you know, there is, or there does appear to be a lack of a leadership, a lack of kind of confidence, motivation. And yeah, as much as you can pin that down to the manager and how it is his job to motivate the players and to build that confidence up in the dressing room, sometimes you do have to look at the 11 on the pitch and say, well, you have also a responsibility to deliver. It's not all down to the manager. As much as social media likes to, you know, put Kenny as the, you know, the pantomime villain in all of this, the players do need to take some responsibility as well.
Oh, certainly, yeah. It's not just the manager's fault, the predicament we're in. It's down to a squad as a whole, as a collective. And some players might not be showing their capabilities for one reason or another. If that's the case, maybe they should be dropped for one game and someone else comes in. Because Michael Jacobs, I know he's only came recently, but he's been a very good player in the past at Wigan. Well, I don't see why he should be given to start this weekend. If he's fit, that is, then that could be quite a good, hopefully, creative outlet.
Yeah. John in Hillsey says, hi guys, why is the manager getting rid of goal scorers like Evans and not playing a midfield goal scorer like Ben Close, who's got the best shot from distance and has scored about a dozen goals in the last 18 months? I know since when we were struggling to score goals, says John in Hillsey. Thank you for your text. We've got Ivan Provero emailing in. Ivan, good to hear from you. He says, hi guys, it really depresses me that we're still talking about not being able to find John up front, even though we've signed Jacobs now. The football is too negative and something needs to be dramatically changed, but we all know it won't be. I just feel sorry for John Marquis at this point. Ivan, thank you for getting in touch. Henry, we'll go back to the text from Roger, from John and Hilsey, sorry, about Ben Close and the fact that, you know, Kenny Jackett likes to play Tom Naylor and Bryn Morris, two very defensive-minded midfielders. I mean, that's Kenny's tactics, that's what he's going to do, but from an outside point of view, from a supporter, you do want to see that more attacking-minded, you know, that attacking threat in that midfield, so you can link that defence to the attack and create more goal-scoring opportunities, whereas right now it just seems a little bit too reserved, and that seems to be one of the biggest reasons why we are struggling to score goals at the moment.
Yeah, with Ben Close, you don't mind when he gives the ball away, because what you get with Ben Close is someone that will always look for that forward pass. Never see Ben Close pass backwards. He'll always find that out. He'll try and find a Curtis, find a Williams, or even try and lump one up top to Marquis. Okay, you get frustrated because he will give the ball away perhaps four or five times in the game, but he does that because he's always looking for that forward ball. And again, we're talking about going back to basics. The basic thing with football is move the ball forward. I know it sounds stupidly simple, but yeah. if you get the ball forward, you're going to give yourself opportunities, especially when you've got a striker as good as John Marquis. As I said, in that 18-yard box, you don't expect many defenders to get the better of him, especially in that penalty area. None really do. I think Close should be coming back in at Burton on Saturday, and given that role to, okay, you're going to give away the ball perhaps a couple of times in the game, but you know that he's going to provide that ball up top. He's going to be positive in his play. And again, the team can feed off of that positivity and that energy that Ben Close provides.
Yeah. We've got a few more texts and tweets coming in, loads of them coming in, by the way. John Ellerton says, the way to lift the toxic mood among supporters is to sack Jacket. We've had enough and we want him gone tonight, says John. On the emails, we've got another one here from Linda Mayo, who says, Pompey's squad is weaker than the last three seasons. Why does Jacket try to play square pegs in round holes? Marquis scored goals before he came back here. Why get him if you're not going to play to extremes? Now our squad has not got the depth that it used to, says Linda on the emails. And unfortunately, John, it seems, I mean, it's so easy for us to say, of course it is, but it seems to be a case of Pompey just need to go back to basics. And, you know, we've mentioned 4-4-2 throughout the show, and, you know, the amount of fans that are getting in touch saying we need to play 4-4-2, we need Ellis to play up top with John Marquis, we need Ben Close alongside Tom Naylor, an attacking and a defensive-minded player. It just seems to be so simple, the answer, yet Kenny is, you know, he's a manager who likes to stick to his ways, and that's what he's about, but it doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime soon, and whilst that's not going to change, you can't really see Pompey challenging for a promotion push this year.
I think, obviously, it's early days. You can't say too much into it, but the signs are there that it's going to be a very difficult season. So, as we addressed earlier, and you mentioned earlier just then, 4-4-2 looks to be like a very good idea of just creating something and getting some spot back into the side. I'd also add that at the moment, I've noticed in the past few matches, our set pieces haven't been very good. And I mean, we really rely on pieces for goals, and that's probably one thing we have to address in the coming, hopefully, weeks and months. So that can really help us in the long term against some pieces goals.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to head to our second and final break. We're going to carry on with the discussion from Saturday's game. Still loads more text, tweets and emails to get through, and lots to talk about in regards to that performance. We'll also be talking to Henry about the return of Over the White Line, and we'll also be hearing from Pompey defender Callum Johnson with his thoughts after the weekend's defeat at home to Wigan. You have just over 20 minutes to get in touch with the show this evening. If you haven't done so already, all the usual ways to get involved. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter. On the emails, it's pompey@expressfm.com, or you can text in the word express followed by your name and message to 81400. We still want your honest assessments on Saturday's defeat, and we also want your opinions on what should change ahead of this weekend's trip to Burton Albion. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty more to come right here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time this evening to the Football Hour on Express FM, proudly driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. We're going to go straight in now to hear from new boy Callum Johnson, who spoke about the mood in the camp following the 2-1 defeat at home to Wigan on Saturday.
Very disappointing, yeah. The lads are all down in there. We're all gutted, obviously. We wanted the win today, and our performance wasn't up to standard that we expect it to be. So that's the main, that's the most important. And the 3 points, obviously, we've lost as well. So we are disappointed, yeah.
It's obviously a late push with Ellis's goal as well. Do you feel like you did enough to maybe snatch a point towards the end?
Maybe, yeah, but the overall performance just wasn't good enough, and we can't say we played well enough to deserve 3 points today, I don't think.
Obviously, on a personal note for you, the only game you haven't played is the Brighton game. How nice has it been to be able to come in and get lots of minutes under your belt?
Yeah, it is, and that was the first time I've conceded when I've played today, so that was disappointing. It's nice to play games, but you want to be winning, and we need to try and regroup and turn that round and play like we know we can for next week.
You must feel that as a defence there wasn't much you could have done about the two goals, obviously the first one unfortunate and the second one from a dead ball.
I think there's always something that you can improve on. When a goal goes in, I think there's always a mistake somewhere, so we'll have to just look over that, and I'm sure we'll all be honest about where we think individuals and where we think we can improve, and I think we'll have to look at that and try and learn from it.
See, it's not quite the same without fans, and certainly not the same when you don't get any points. But how have you found playing at Fratton Park and settling in here?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Obviously, you don't enjoy it when you lose, but I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed my time here so far, and all we're missing now is starting getting the wins, and that's the most important thing. So that takes a big shine off coming to a club like this when we haven't really got as many points on the board as we'd have liked.
Yeah, and just looking ahead, what are you expecting from the next week of training? Will it be a case of putting this one behind you, or sort of looking at it and working out what went wrong?
I think we need to look at it and see what went wrong, but you also have to eventually put it behind you and move on. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in the past, you know, looking at a disappointing performance. We need to go again for Burton next week.
Callum Johnson there with his thoughts after Pompey's 2-1 defeat at home to Wigan at the weekend. Okay, more text, tweets and emails coming in. We're also going to speak to John and Henry for the next 15 minutes or so before we do hand over to Jeff and Adrian on the Soft Rock Show at 7 o'clock. We've got a text in from Roger in Gosport again, who says, what formation would you prefer? What happened to Alan Knight? Okay, Roger in Gosport. Alan no longer does the Pompey Live with us. He's got other commitments to do. And of course, with COVID as well, means restrictions inside ground. So, you know, less numbers in the press boxes, which is massively unfortunate. But we'll be looking to get Alan back on the show for a few special appearances, I'm sure, Roger. In terms of formation, to be honest with you, I must admit, I do prefer the 4-2-3-1 formation, but I must say I do agree with a lot of what Pompey fans are saying this evening, and that we should perhaps change it to a 4-4-2 and allow Edis Harrison to maybe partner John Marquis up top. That's my thoughts on that, Roger. I think we've also heard Henry's and John's thoughts on the perhaps the possibility of a formation change. Some more emails coming in. I know we've got a few more as well. Stephen Jerome says, hi lads, another poor performance from us on Saturday. I thought we started the game okay in the first 15 to 20 minutes and created some early chances, but again we didn't take any of those, and I think that gave Wigan confidence and allowed them to grow more into the game. And after they scored their first goal, we just fell apart. In the second half we looked lacklustre, we were a bit pedestrian in possession and gave the ball away too easily at times, and we lacked a bit of quality in the final third. He then goes on to say, we did look a little bit better when Harrison came on, and it was great to see him score near the end, but the goal was the only positive that he can take from a game. I think some of it is down to the confidence, but lack of fans at the moment doesn't help. Sometimes as a player, when you're having a bad game and things aren't going your way, the fans and the atmosphere they create can give you a little bit of a lift and spur you on, but the fans aren't there at the moment. I'm sure it can affect the players. Maybe they are struggling to get motivated at the moment. Who knows? But the fact is, the first three teams we played so far are not exactly the greatest teams in the league. Steve then goes on to say, we failed to win against any of them. We need to turn things around very quickly, or we will find ourselves in a relegation dogfight. I think it's going to be a very long, hard season. Thank you, Stephen Jerome and Southie, for getting it in touch. And John, it's hard to argue with that as well. You know, the first three teams that Pompey have played so far this season, no disrespect to them, but Shrewsbury, Rochdale, two teams you expect to be kind of down there in the division. Wigan, a little bit unpredictable with things off the pitch not quite going their way. They are still in an administration. They are a team on the decline, but you never really can tell with Wigan. They you know, they could be mid-table, but I can't imagine they're going to be challenging for promotion. I think that looks a little bit out of their reach, but they are three games on paper that you look for the Blues to be winning, and that's the frustrating thing, the fact that we have started off so slowly against teams who we perhaps should be beating.
Yeah, everything you said there is bang on. These are three, as you know, spectrum. These are three teams you would expect to be challenged at the top end of the table. Yet we can't register a win against either of them, or any of them, for more to the point. And it's looking very ominous to Pompey fan trying to look for any positives in the moment. But yeah, the positive is we scored a goal, and yes, we do have some very good owners in charge, but we can't rely on them to bail us out of this league, especially at the moment when there's no money going around the league at all. Mm. We need to find some ways of getting some sort of positivity back, and it must be a formation change.
Alan Swift says, same again. Hi, guys. This season, although early doors, it's felt the same as the last two. Granted, the settling in of Jacobs with the introduction of a new Danish defender will probably lift the team somewhat. And boy, do we need that, he says. But the biggest concern, I'm afraid, even for the past couple of years, is that although there is plenty of talent in the side, the general feeling is that most players are not playing for the manager or the shirt. And that's worrying, because all the time Kenny's in place, we will not achieve promotion. And that's the bare truth, I'm afraid, says Alan. He then goes on to finish with, he needs to add another striker or two to play up front, to try and introduce some more sparkle up front, and his system probably bores the pants off of players as well as us, says Alan and Selsey. He then says perhaps the players will enjoy some success in the Cup starting tomorrow. Alan, we're not playing in the Cup. I made that mistake earlier. We're not playing. It's next Tuesday, Southend away. Don't worry, I'm with you on that one. He goes on to say what you were saying earlier, John, about the fact that the Cup game might be a distraction. Hopefully that will be next week. But we also get a lot of texts in about a former Pompey player, and to be honest, I've not seen any of this materialise from any kind of reputable source, but there's a lot of talk on Twitter, and this is only Pompey fans, speculating that Omar Bogle might be returning. I don't know where this has come from, but I've had a few texts asking me to clarify that. To be honest, I don't know. It's just something I've refreshed on Twitter. I've seen his name, you know, pop up a few times, and but no, in terms of another striker, John, and maybe Omar Bogle, do you think that is something Pompey need, or do you think that would only add to the kind of the headache that Kelly's got in John Marquis and Ellis Harrison up top?
I think personally, another striker isn't a priority at this given moment, given we already have two good strikers. Maybe one gets injured, yes, that's another story, but when we have two fit strikers, I don't think strikers are a problem. It's just trying to get the team to flow, and the fluidity isn't there at the moment.
It's not only that as well, but if you've got three strikers, Henry, who, you know, if Pompey do bring in another striker, say, you expect that striker to be a striker who's going to perhaps fix the problems for Pompey, and you're not going to get someone who, I don't know, say you do get Omar Bogle, say you get someone like Will Grigg, I'm just picking names out of a hat now, but they're not going to want to be third choice in a system that only plays one up top. You know, John Marquis and Ellis Harrison both fighting tooth and nail for that position. Adding a third striker, really, as much as it may add the competition, might spur players on to perform better, it actually could do quite the opposite and have a negative effect on the camp when you've got players who are uncomfortable with their positions and are not too happy about not playing.
Yeah, and the other thing with that as well is you're talking about bringing a player in to completely galvanise the squad and completely change the mood around the camp. That brings a massive load of pressure on that player that comes in. And I think the best example, Fernando Torres at Chelsea, came with all the hype and the Chelsea fans saying, that's a player that's going to turn us around. And there is a pressure on that. And you can feel that pressure quite a lot. And you're expected to hit the ground running. And if you don't, then it can transpire. And if the mood ain't great in the camp, it can completely change it the other way. So if these rumours are right, and trust me, as someone that runs a club social media account, I know there's a lot of weird stuff that goes out there.
Yeah.
If Bogle, say, for example, comes in, the pressure on them to succeed straight away it's going to be huge. And that's a lot of pressure on someone's shoulders.
Yeah. We've got another email in from Graham Wilkins. Says, evening, gents. Looking back after a couple of days of reflection, I still think Kenny has to change the tactics. I'd love to see two up front and have two wingers in Harness and Williams with close in from Morris. And I believe that Curtis needs an audience to perform. And with no fans in the ground, he is definitely struggling to get his match day head on. Also, it would be nice to have a manager who shows a bit of emotion on the sidelines, not a muted statue. Unlike Richardson, he's not the manager of Wigan, says Graham Wilkins on the emails. And we've got another tweet in from Peter Knight, who, I think, a bit harsh, Peter, but I'll read out anyway. He says, yes, drop Curtis. He's the most overrated footballer ever to play for Pompey. Peter on Twitter. I think that's got a little bit too far, Peter. I think, you know, Ronan does add quite a lot to his game and arguably one of the biggest performers on his day for the Blues. I think that's, you know, that goes without saying. But in terms of this, you know, this up and coming, you know, bulk of fixtures we've got coming up, John, would it be beneficial, like we saw last season, for Ronan Curtis to be just have a few games out of the team, allow someone else to come in with a fresh ideas, fresh creativity, and to allow Ronan to just take a bit of time to reflect and you know, train harder to become a better player? And, you know, we've seen it before. We've seen it before where he's had a few games out and he's come back a lot better. Could that be something that needs to happen again?
It could be, but whether it is worth doing or something entirely, I think personally, from what I've seen of Curtis, he looks a bit off the mark at the moment. I think like we have to maybe be a bit tired or what, I don't know what, but maybe just say he might need to come out the side, someone else come in, take his place, and then hopefully gives him incentive to push on and get back to where he should be, because we know how good he is, and on his day he's probably one of the best players, if not the best we've got.
Just some last interaction before we move away from the Pompey discussion. We're going to talk about Over the White Line coming in a few days. Sam Strong says, we need to play them up top together. This is Marquis and Harrison, of course. Look at Doncaster. Marquis works better with a strike partner. Marcus Deakins agrees, he says, but he's pretty sure he had someone alongside him when he played for Doncaster and hit 60-odd goals in three seasons. Obviously that worked, but playing hoofball, he is clearly a square peg in a round hole. And Curtis Woodward names his team selection for Saturday. He's going 4-4-2 with Marquis and Harrison up top, sticking with Curtis, but bringing Ben Close into the starting lineup. Thank you to everyone who got involved on the text, tweets and emails. Before we do move over, Henry, and talk about Over White Line and the non-league fixtures we've got to look forward to in the coming weeks, must give a shout out to the Pompey women. Of course, they've started their season. Andy Swatton's tweeted in, he says, they're flying after a hard-fought win, a 2-1 win, and second in the table after a 1-1 and 1-1 with a local derby away to Chichester on Wednesday night. So if you want to watch Pompey, you can pre-book your tickets. Just go to @PompeyWomen on Twitter if you want to find out how to watch the girls play. He then goes on to say that the Pompey women are hosting Chichester and Selsey on Wednesday night at Bun Leisure Stadium. You can buy online, head to Pompey women on Twitter. So good win for them yesterday, up to scratch in the season, and something positive to reflect upon in terms of Pompey. Now looking at the non-league side of the game, Henry, you're returning on Wednesday night over the White Line. Tell us a bit more of what we can expect, what time you're returning, and really what you're looking ahead up to now.
Yeah, so great to be back, first and foremost. I'm supposing in some senses I'm quite lucky in the fact that the format won't change too much. Obviously, as with COVID and social distancing and everything that we've become used to, I suppose, the last few months, there'll be no guests in the studio physically, but we'll be speaking on Skype, Zoom, telephone, all the ways that we seem to get in touch with each other nowadays. And we're going to be speaking to all our local clubs. We'll be talking about all the latest news, fixtures, results. We're also going to be speaking to our local leagues, so the Hampshire League, hopefully get the Wessex League on. We're hoping to have contact with the Portals of FA again this year. So it's literally, if you're a fan of local football, and you want to know what's happening, you want a little bit of news, you want to hear from the voices that matter in the local game, then Over the White Line's the place to be. So on Wednesday night, back at the 6 o'clock slot until 7 p.m. Tune in every Wednesday night on the 93.7 Express FM. Just quickly, Jake, just going back to the Pompey women who are moving into Wesley Park over at Havant this
course,
year.
Yeah.
Part of the agreement between the Hawks and Pompey, and their first game there is on the 11th of October against Plymouth Argyle, and fans will be allowed to go in there. Ironically, Havant are the only team that are not allowed to use Wesley, are not allowed to have fans inside Wesley Park.
That's it, because, of course, haven't have agreed to ground share with Clanfield, I believe, lower in the non-league depths. And, of course, Pompey Women, their systems are allowing supporters in, but not at the National League South stage, which is being classed as elite football, according to the government. So that is a strange one, as you say, Henry. Yeah, that is a weird one. I think we've only got about 30 seconds or so left to discuss this. And, just looking forward to that show on Wednesday, Henry. In regards to Havant's Waterlooville, of course, everyone knows that's your club, that's who you work with. They're returning this Saturday, but not returning until league action until next Saturday. Just quickly tell us who they're playing on Saturday and what to expect from that one.
So we're now moving the game to Sunday. So we've moved that to Sunday. We're playing Horsham at home, although we're not playing at home. We're playing that over at Bognor Regis' Nywood Lane, so we get the pitch ready in time for the 10th. It'll be a tough game. They've got a few ex-Dorking players played Confidence South last year. It's probably the epitome of an FA Cup tie, which you perhaps maybe sense an upset. But if we do our bit, then we should go through.
Henry, John, thank you both very much for joining me tonight. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for the Football Hour this evening. Once again, thank you to Henry Deacon, John Hooper for joining me on the Football Hour. We've had a great hour of discussion, and thank you to everyone who got involved on the text, tweets and emails sharing your thoughts, your frustrations from the weekend's game. Don't forget to join Henry back at 6 o'clock Wednesday evening over the White Line. He'll have all your non-league talk and, of course, Pompey women discussion as well from 6 o'clock on Wednesday, right here, 93.7 Express FM is the place to be for Over the White Line. I'll be back at the same time on Friday night. I'll be here with two more Pompey fans to preview Pompey's away trip to Burton Albion on Saturday afternoon. Pompey hoping to make it a first win in the league at the fourth time of asking. They face a tough trip away to Burton. We'll be hoping they can do it. Join myself, Liam and Ryan for that one from 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Kickoff, of course, 3 o'clock with Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham on the commentary for that one. Thank you to Stagecoach for supporting the show once again this season, and thank you once again to everyone for getting involved on the text, tweets and emails. Looking forward to hearing from you again on Friday. Up next is the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Adrian after the news at 7. Until Friday, take care, play up Pompey and stay safe out there.